listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, January 1st. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. I didn't know whether to say good evening or happy new year first, but you know, I am so happy to be here,
and
as you know.
Happy to have you, and happy to see everybody in our chat tonight. And, you know, it's a fun one. We get to talk about renewal and rebirth right on the first of the year. Wednesdays don't usually line up that well, but
looking
forward to it. So, again, appreciate everybody joining us live. Also appreciate those that take the time to catch up with us in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, we're going to have an interesting discussion talking about renewal and rebirth and looking at life as it changes and kind of how we go through these processes. And I know that you have a couple interesting points to make, too, on this 9-year cycle you talked about prior to the broadcast.
Well, I would kind of like to start out by...
As I was going to as well.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Michael.
I was going to say exactly what you were saying. Everybody knows it's a lot in the news today. We have a horrible attack in New Orleans, and just wanted to say that our thoughts are with the people there, with the city. It is definitely a difficult time when you have something like that and have so many people injured and so many dead. So our thoughts with those there. And I know, as you and I spoke about earlier too, honestly, our thoughts with everybody that is going through such suffering around the world. And it is something that I think is important to keep them in our thoughts and in our minds so that nobody is forgotten and that we don't become too desensitized to this, which, I know myself, you see it so much in the news, you become numb to it, and trying really hard not to become that as a people and as a person myself. But your thoughts, Dr. Vicki?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry we were stepping on each other at the beginning of that, Michael. I had a little delay in my headset here. Yeah, it's not a fun way to start out the new year, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a fun time at any time, let alone trying to wake up optimistic January 1st, and didn't see that coming. But there are things going on all over the world, and we do, as you say, have to acknowledge that and not become desensitized. It's I'm just ever so grateful, I haven't had to be in that situation or predicament or, go through that kind of event. And so all I can do is imagine what that is. And even then, my imagination can only go so far because it hurts. You know, it's mm-hmm. like, ooh, that's a hard one, you know. So, yeah, the 9 year. And as everybody well knows, I mean, we can take astrology, numerology to the nth degree, but if we see it in its very practical sense, you know, the truest numbers are 1 to 9, single digits, and 2025 adds up, reduces to the 9. And so that's what we're headed into, and the 9 is all about completion. Actually, I pulled up a few things here. It's a symbol of balance between taking action and seeking wisdom. It fulfills a cycle. So if you think every number has a story, 1 to 9. 1 is a start, beginnings. 2 is a follow-through and work. 3 is a completion. 4 likes stability, but starts to get restless. 5 likes to adventure. 6 likes sociability, commitment, nice things and comfort, family. 7 is attention to detail, thinking, introspection. Mm. 8 is an educational number. It's a lot of people call it the power authority number, but you can't have that unless you kind of are learning something or have learned something. So 9 is the completion as the circle kind of closes. And I know if you look up even online, there's references to even biblical references to 9. You know, the 9th hour when Christ was crucified apparently at 3 p.m. as the story goes. Hmm. The 9 attributes of God, such as patience, grace, anyway, the 9 gifts of spirit, such as wisdom and faith. Religion, well, Hinduism, it's a divine number, represents the end of a cycle. Buddhism, 9 virtues. Norse mythology, of course, had the significance of the 9. But of course, Satanists like to believe it's associated with Satan, Michael. So, you know, it's tell all kinds of stories. But when I'm kind of encapsulating these numbers, trust me, there is a myriad of information on a number. I'm just telling the story in its simplest form,
right,
of what the numbers are. So, you know, as we're in this 9 year, we can glean something if we look back at where we were, where you were in your life in 2016, 2007, 1998. So it's that different expression of the same thing, like the energy. Don't look at events, look at the energy. And I have looked up world events, too much to talk about. There's a lot of things happening 9 years ago that was on the precipice of other big changes. Now, don't forget, in 2016 was when Trump took that election. And, of course, the onset of a lot of other changes. And so here we are. And It's got a mirrored image of itself, because when you're completing, when you're getting through that cycle, there can be a lot of disruptions or realizations or understandings that you didn't have before that aha moment. Shifts in the economy, shifts politically, lots of those things going on, but it is all on the precipice of the 1 year to follow. And 2026 really does, in my view, offer all that start points, the new hope, those beginnings. So I think that this year is going to be a lot of revelations for people, a lot of realizations, a lot of, you know, mind opening. I think at a grassroots level, I think that a sensibility will begin to return, Michael, if I dare say. I think that there'll be a lot of really good things, but it's not necessarily going to be easy. You know, there's, in order to realize things, we have to kind of embrace them, right? And realize, oh, is that what we created? Is that where we're at? In order to build the change. That's what happens. It's always the case. So that's what, to me, 2025 is about. Now, interestingly enough, I started telling Michael before the program that as in the last few years, a friend of mine, she's the only one I know I can do this with. Once a year, we get together online, video, and she has her tarot cards, I have mine, and we ask a question, shuffle our cards, and so each of us has our own layout. Inevitably, there are many of our cards that are the same. What was different this year, is we had mirrored images of things. So where some of the cards were the same, I'd get the good stuff, she'd get the bad stuff, or vice versa. In all the questions, I said, there's a real dichotomy this year. So what we kind of figured that out to be as we carried up, because we were online, Michael, for 2.5 hours. So it was a lot of fun. Is haves will have more, have-nots will have less. And there's that greater divide socioeconomically before it starts the shift. But there is what we could see, a grassroots movement. And I was so relieved to see that. And so it's not all bad. You know what I mean? 9 years can be really, really good. As long as we understand that we're learning from this. This is our wake-up call. And this is where many of us are called to action, or even in your daily life, not just, you know, the macro. It's making little changes in our life that make better sense. I just read an article the other day, Michael, that says, you know, people are tired of the gentle parenting. I call it passive parenting, where you try to reason with a two-year-old. You know, I mean, it's nonsense, but people are starting to realize that that's not working. Oh, novel thought, people. So that's what I mean by people are starting to make another shift. And that's one thing Shelley and I did agree on, is that there's a big social consciousness shift this year.
The pendulum always swings back and forth, I think. And it usually goes too far in both directions before it kind of hovers in the middle for a little window of time where we can enjoy rationality, and then it goes back to an extreme. Because I think on one end, you know, you mentioned gentle parenting. On one end, you have, you know, people that are being overly passive, and on the far other end, you have people that are beating their kids and, you know, causing horrendous trauma. It's a the pendulum swings. Now, yeah, people online, which is, you know, I'm going to touch base on that in just a second. But, yeah, people online that are basically advocating for just outright child abuse at the drop of a hat as an answer to their, you know, perceived irritation at gentle parenting. And, you know, Lord knows that, you know, I raise my voices with the dogs. I rule with an iron hand, but I get it. You know, I don't think it works either. But,
you know, one of the things that Shelley and I talked about as parents, and her son is 42. Mm-hmm. I've known her for over 30 years, so you can imagine we go back a long way. We did talk about how raising kids is really about learning about yourself. Yeah. What can I dig in myself to find a tactic, a perspective? How do I challenge myself in the face of this or that? Yeah. It's not about the kid. It's about ourselves. And while her and I were both rather strict parents, there was a lot of leniency in other ways. Like, you stay up late and can't get up in the morning, not my problem. You're getting to school.
Right.
You know, or, you know, my son, he was taking driver training in his teens and he slept in. Comes to me and said, I slept in. I said, oh, too bad. Why didn't you wake me up? Not my job. And that's that's natural learning.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so it's, you know what I mean? Like there was this different, we had a different approach to it. And, you know, whatever.
Sure.
People still go in the world to make up who they are anyhow. So,
well,
but you're doing your best. It's not a matter of what you think you didn't have as a child or you had too much of, mm-hmm. and you're trying to compensate because those are your issues, not the kids' issues. Each of us has a job to do. And so I think we're starting to get back to that, and hopefully, you know, not as that pendulum swings, but, you know, what is the trend? Back in the 60s, we saw Twiggy and Skinny. Then you see Overweight and Take Me As I Am. And now it's coming back a little bit. I have noticed mm-hmm. a few of these changes where it's, now we've got to get healthy. And I think also people getting smarter about what's in their food. You know, what are they eating? And if they can afford to, you know, and get creative enough to buy fresh food and cook it
mm-hmm.
Versus, you know, the packaged box food. So it's starting to, that's what I mean by, I think people are starting to become a little more educated, and we're going to see more of that in this year. But that's all through the awakenings.
Well, sure. Well, and again, I have to stress that there's no one right way for anyone, you know?
No.
Yeah. Like, for example, I'm personally of the mind that I think a lot of the food concerns are overblown. That's my personal take on it. And I think also, if you, there are plenty of people online that have great, you know, different, great pages about how you can cook well for yourself on a budget. But you still might buy instant mashed potatoes or, you know, some macaroni dishes in a can, and you try to get some fresh veggies when you can. But realistically, it's expensive, you know, and not everybody can do that. So
exactly.
You shouldn't try to hold yourself to these different standards. But I think the important thing is, you know, everything that we're going through today has happened before, with one exception, social media. It's changed everything, and I think for better and worse. I think misinformation flies around the world so much faster than rationality and truth. I think that truth has become such a you know, I mean, it always has been individualized, but you can tailor your version of what true is to anything you want it to be. You can find anything online to support any viewpoint. This is why I've now become a flat earther, and I've seen some great YouTube videos that have this really ominous music that play in the background about these globalist NASA types. It's really interesting, guys. I'm kidding, of course. I think flat earthers are just easy to pick on. But you know, I think that, yeah, it is a great tool because we have a whole world of information open to us. And me, myself, I am, you know, trying to eat more whole foods. I do think that is smart in general, you know. I think that some accounts and some things go too far. But, you know, some of the renewal things that I'm talking about for the new year is I'm cooking more. I'm trying to be a little bit more creative. I'm trying to mix in some more balance and different things. You know, I think fewer than 10% of U.S. citizens actually follow or even resemble recommended guidelines for, in terms of, like, you know, how much whole grain should you eat? How much should you limit sugars? How much should you eat leafy greens and different vegetables like that? You know, protein and all these different things. It's because it's convenient. It's really easy to not have to worry about it. And, you know, to be fair, you can do that and be fine for a while. But it's about consistency. And so for me, part of my renewal is to try and be a little bit more creative with my cooking and try to do a little bit more balance. But again, you know, I think you can live life a whole bunch of different ways. And I think that...
Yeah, I don't disagree. I totally agree with everything you said, Michael, especially if people can't afford it. It's tough. It's tough to feed a family, but I got to tell you, Michael, there are ways. You know, as I have mentioned in previous programs, everybody, when I found out even at the deli, you know, it looks like a ham, but it's processed meat.
Mm-hmm.
It's only 18% protein. I got, so I don't buy that anymore. What I did is I got a real ham. I cut it up. I only cooked what I needed for that that meal and enough for sandwiches for a few days. The rest went in pieces in the freezer. So I can go in my freezer, take out a piece of ham, cook it up, and I can do that again. You know, it's I made a big stew, and tonight, matter of fact, I said, you know, I feel like stew. I took some out of the freezer because then I put it in containers and I freeze them. And because there's not all those days you feel like cooking and it's too easy to pull out a frozen pizza, you know?
Sure.
And I'm not saying that there aren't nights I have nachos too, but I'm just saying that there are ways if, you know, if you can, you know, kind of get creative about these things. And I think all I'm saying is I think people are starting to do that. I think there's an awareness more about, Damien said he thought I was a vegetarian.
Nah.
I actually have been a vegetarian a couple of times in my life, but just for the record, Damien, my body doesn't like to be a vegetarian. I found that my body requires a certain amount of protein. I don't eat very much, but I eat enough where my liver and kidneys function better.
That's definitely a plus.
And again, it's not for everybody. I want it to be vegetarian. Mm-hmm. It's cheaper, to be honest. And I liked being vegetarian. The first time I was vegetarian was I had two little girls. And it was before I got pregnant with my son back in the 80s. Early 80s, and I was vegetarian for like 5 years, and I loved it. The thing is, that time I got pregnant with my son, and I craved meat all the time. And you know, back in those days too, I was doing all the right things being pregnant, Michael, listening to classical music every night, going to bed at the same time. Oh yeah. And that kid hates classical music.
Yeah.
Hates it.
You know, so, I think a lot of things, especially like, you know, a lot of the common knowledge things or the things that you heard about, like classical music, right? Or all these different things that are supposed to engage intelligence that were really popular in the 80s and 90s. Just complete. Yeah. It turns out they were just nothing, you know, that there's so many other things that were going into play that tilted these studies. I think it's the intent. So I think classical music can be great for certain kids in different developmental environments, but I think it's a lot the intent and also the emotional support and love that they get from a parent and things like that. I think human beings are a lot more resilient than sometimes we think in terms of, you know, what can really succeed.
And again, everyone has their own subjective reality. You know, what I experience here living in the Okanagan and mm-hmm. British Columbia, Canada, is very different than, you know, the back streets of Chicago. You know, we have very different realities, and we're adjusting and dealing with things as well as we can. And I'm not saying we don't have problems here. There's always housing problems, homeless problems. Mm-hmm. We got all that too. But it's a cultural, these cultural pockets, that those become our realities. Mm-hmm. And but I think what Shelley and I kind of gleaned over is more of a global movement, North American movement, something that, you know, suddenly people are saying, wait a minute. And they kind of do it simultaneously. And that's not to say social media doesn't have influence. It certainly does. But I look back to how is it that in the 60s, with very limited, if any, social media, everybody would go to that big city in Portland, Oregon, you know? Mm-hmm. Or word of mouth, or Woodstock, or hippie movements. Yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of the music of the times, little influences that start to affect people. And I think we're going to have some of that again this year, just an awakening. And I find it really exciting myself. And yeah, the pendulums will swing in certain things, Michael, but we're making ground breaking, as we know, discoveries in science.
That's very true.
Science and medicine. There's all kinds of technology. Of course, we have extensively talked about AI and how that is even, I've read some articles recently that that's really changing like surgeries, how surgeries are done.
Right.
And diagnosing illness. And, you know, that's really optimistic. You know, well, we are advancing and, let's hope we're a little smarter. That's not to say that there aren't some pretty dumb things that are going to go on. You know, there's always going to be that. But it's, you know, poor Dr. Edwards saying food selection's become an issue for him because he has chronic kidney and, you know, issues and diabetes. And, but when he was young, he could eat anything he wanted. And, yeah, I mean, the world has changed, whether it's an external force, internal force, you know, blame it on
something. The people with it. People are getting older, too. All of us are getting older. Young people can still eat whatever they want, and their metabolism and things will hold up. And, you know, time will add on layers of impact from all of the negative choices you make in life.
Yeah.
So, you know, eating a lot of ultra-processed foods catches up with you. I try to avoid...
You know, I'd like to remind everybody, though. I mean, I read a story about a man in the 1800s who lived to be 45, and here's his tombstone in the middle of nowhere. But, you know, living to 45 in that day was old. Yeah. And at the turn of the 20th century... You know, living past 60 was old.
You know,
I'm talking on a national or otherwise average. What is the lifespan? Now they say it's 81 point something years. So that's why I kind of laugh, because we're all in some way living beyond our expiry date.
Yeah.
And I'm very sincere about this, Michael.
Yeah.
If you've even taken antibiotics, you know, you have, you know what I'm saying, beat the odds of what otherwise would have happened.
This is very true. I would have died as a child from pneumonia.
Exactly. See, this is, we're, the lifespan has expanded because of medicine.
Very true. And, you know, because of a lot of things. I mean, food safety has increased dramatically. Well, not getting into the controversial stuff, but just in general, there is fewer cholera. There's fewer, you know, things like, what's the, like contaminated water supplies and, you know, salmonella and all these different things, because we just have, you know, health inspectors and things like this. We have sanitation departments. We have sewage. We have, you know, different things that greatly enhance the cleanliness that we're experienced with. And we frankly do not know what it was to live as a human being for the first forever in time up until the Industrial Revolution and really up until the mid 20th century. You know, I do think some things, you know, have changed negatively as we've gone into the future. But I firmly refuse to look back fondly at the past. I think anybody that could travel back in time and step off that time machine would regret it for too terribly long. you know, and I personally also do not believe in eugenics. So I am happy that we do have medicines and things like that that can continue life. Because again, if you save a child's life with antibiotics, what wondrous creations will that child add to human civilization?
Sure.
That they would have never been able to do otherwise.
Yeah, I agree.
So it opens up the window of opportunity. But, you know, it is not a clean arc. There are things that we have lost, and there are things, you know, Dr. Damien had pointed out, microplastics. I mean, in this day and age, it's in containers, right? Bottled water, plastic jugs, you know, plastic everything, this, that, and the other. Then again, we're also not dealing with lead poisoning and asbestos. It's a trade-off.
You know, speaking of which, for those of you know, I moved this year and my kids helped me buy this place. And I was telling my daughter that I've got a lot of outside work in this deck. I want to gut it and fix it up. And she said, well, I want to check the inspection report because it seems to me there's lead paint out there. And the minute you scrape it off, and I'm listening to her, bless her heart, because she's, you know, very concerned about this lead in the paint. I said, we were chewing lead paint off of cribs. when I was young. What? I said, I'm not worried about lead paint outside. Not in the least. That's just outside in the air. Now, if lead's in my water, I'm worried about that. But outside, latex paint didn't even start until the 70s, I think. So everything when I was a kid was oil-based and lead paints. There was lead paint on the outside of pencils. We would chew those pencils in school, you know. I'm really glad for how far we've come removing lead, doing these things, because that's good. For everything from asbestos to, you know, whatever. That's good. However, I think we built in these fears that, you know, a certain amount of moderation or based on the circumstance, hopefully kids don't chew on their, you know, cribs, but teething kids do that.
Right.
That's a good thing to change. You're ingesting it.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, what we're concerned about now, but certainly I lived through a lot of stuff. It's just generally speaking, you know, we've been through a great education and we are learning. And that's what I really want to impart with everybody today is this is the opportunity to get perspective. This is the opportunity to resolve things in your life. Look at them. And I want to reference Dr. Kelly's newsletter this week, if I may. Mm-hmm. You know, two or three things that you were successful at in the past year. And I know many of you have had some pretty yo-yo hard rides this year. But there's been some good things. And just know that if you can get through a lot of the other stuff you have in your life, you'll get through whatever's coming. But and for those of us here, we all know that we're somewhat of the same mind to always be a better human being and keep learning and growing. And this year is another one of those, to keep learning, keep growing, and, you know, gaining perspective. And in that, there's that energy begins to shift. And so rather than that denial with secondary gains, this is the year where you say, oh, I can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can, but it'll catch up with you.
Everything has a cost, you know. Everything
it
has a cost.
Does.
And I will say my piece that I'm going to also just embrace nuance, you know. Embrace your curiosity. Don't ever tamp it down. Understand that, you know, we live in a complicated world, and it's a lot of variables that we oftentimes just don't really know the full extent of.
True.
And I think that it's a great opportunity to look at improving ourselves, because that is both a, you know, a constant in human nature that we want to improve ourselves, and, you know, frankly, I think we're going to be in for a bit of a rough readjustment as society kind of readjusts to a few things, so better to, you know, steel ourselves and, you know, make sure we're healthier, make sure we're able to meet these challenges head on. And, yeah. You know, I'd like to just address a couple things, like, you know, I, when it comes to some of my comments prior, I don't think of the ancients as fools. I think there is a lot of ancient knowledge. I don't think of them as gods either. I think it's complicated. I think we've lost some things. I think we've gained a lot. I think we can look at some of the old ways, the myths and legends that turn out to be true in terms of, you know, a lot of things about early, the ancients' understandings of astronomy and different engineering and different things like that. But I think everything is a little bit of mix of everything. You know, we're going to have good times ahead of us. We're going to have bad. Yeah. We're going to figure things out. We're going to, you know, forget knowledge. We're going to learn new things. You know, one thing I love about the Buddhist philosophy is, you know, supposedly the Buddha had a very long view of existence. He said himself that there will come a time where nobody will remember who I am or my story. That is just the way of things. Yeah. Things, everything has entropy. All things fade. And the goal here for all this is just to do the best you can with what you have. Always strive to be a better person. And for me, that means trying to better ourselves both physically and spiritually and mentally. And also just ethically, just be kind, be decent. You know, it's a tough world, even with all the amenities. It's still a tough world for all of us, and we're all in it together. And I think that's something to hold on to, too.
Yeah. One of the things, I'm going to just shift gears here. One of the things that Shelley and I asked is, will there be disclosure of aliens this year? And it said no. Although we'll have sightings, reports, all that will continue and well into 2026, and there may well be a few things coming out then. And so I have to go with Dr. Rick's theory that no, there won't be an alien disclosure this year. But speaking of which, I did watch, I got it written down here, a new documentary of sorts, Battle for Disclosure on Amazon. Now, you know, it's Dr. Stephen Greer, and so much of this information is old stuff, right? And I thought, okay, this is 2024. Oh, sigh, I'll watch it. Well, there was some new stuff in there. There was actually new interviews, and for the first time, and I don't mean to criticize, but Dr. Greer was not doing the I am, I was. He was actually presenting in a really good way. I thought, I'm impressed. So, you know, it's on Amazon Prime, Battle for Disclosure. It's not bad. You might find it interesting. So let's take some names with some cards. Michael, shall we?
Absolutely. So as we get some names in the chat for our inner oracle cards and tarot card readings this evening, good as time as any to say that Wendy is going to be joining us next week. We're going to be looking back at 2024 and look and see what kind of inner oracle card trends we had. And I think if time is available, I think, Dr. Vicky, you were going to have some different tarot trends as well, but... I know life can get busy, so.
No, well, I actually have some time slotted this week where I've got a stack of paper, and it's kind of like doing taxes, though, Michael. Like, okay, get everything out. See, Wendy is much more adept at this than I am, but I am going to do it, and we'll see what trends there are from my end of what the tarot might have said, if any at all. Wendy seems to see more trends. In the inner oracle self-discovery cards.
She has an eye for it, you know?
She
and
does.
Again, completely voluntary. This is something that she took upon herself, and we appreciate her for it because we've all gotten some really interesting insights into these trends that come up. So that's why we lovingly call her our card keeper, and can't wait for that discussion. So,
well, I know we have Dr. Edward Wong would like a card, Michael. So... you do you, and I'll do me.
All right. And so far, our only name, so I'm going to be really slow in delivery here. But Dr. Edward, I hope you're doing well. For you tonight, first card of 2025, I have number 15, belief system and knowledge base. We each operate life from an existing belief system, and sometimes the solution or direction lies outside of our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within.
You know, what's really exciting about this, Edward, is I pulled the world. That is the 21st card in the major arcana in the tarot. And opportunities, the world opens up, new thoughts. And I think you're right in keeping with that number 9 vibration of 2025. So your belief systems, knowledge base, the world, and don't ever let them tell you that you can't learn something when you get older, because you can. There's always something to learn. And it's just maybe a shift, even a shift of how you see your childhood, a shift of how you saw your earlier, you know, younger years. Just that shift of, oh, I never saw it that way before. So it's, and then how you see yourself in the world. So I think that's very exciting, and seeing that there are possibilities for you. And I don't know, I just saw you writing things, taking notes, writing. So I don't know if you journal, you're writing, but that's what I just had that picture in my head. And we have our card keeper herself, Wendy.
Wendy, you know, for this topic of a new year, I think this card is great. Number 18, Evolution. Evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort. But fear not. Personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. Thus, entropy is lowered. Good card.
Well, I got the Page of Swords, the Page of Spades, and I said, well, what's that about? And so I pulled the Lover's card, and I said, oh, I see what that's about. Don't let other people squash your dreams, Wendy. You know, the Page is all about the communications difficulty. You're evolving, maybe they're not, or don't care to, or don't want you to. You know, lots of different things. Everybody can have a different opinion, but it's about you following your passion. It's about you forging ahead. And I'm not saying there aren't things to learn. Evolution teaches us that for sure. And you might change your mind about some things along the way, but it's that a little disappointment maybe in whoever's delivering this information to you, or a disappointment in what they're saying you can't do that, and you're saying, yeah, I can. And, you know, that'll happen, Michael, where people always think they have the right way of doing things when, you know, maybe there are other ways.
Mm.
So, you know, we have a small group in our chat tonight. We have to remind ourselves that very often on New Year's Day, people will have family dinners, get-togethers, and, you know, so they've got other things planned, or they have hangovers.
And, what, me, a hangover? No. Wait, who told you?
Mm-hmm. But, you know, so it's, we're really appreciative of the group that we, you know, have here. And, you know, who keeps coming on. We've built up quite a following, you know, in the last number of years. And although they're not necessarily all online, you know, there's archive listeners. Mm-hmm. We have people in other countries that try to tune in when it's, you know, middle of the night or morning for them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's, I know we sound like broken records, Michael, and big cheerleaders for ourselves, but I am ever so grateful for this program. Mm,
me too.
And coming on every Wednesday gives me a rhythm, a routine, like-minded people. I've learned, you know, there were many years where I loved, like you like talking about history and politics to people. I love talking metaphysics to people.
Yeah.
And, you know, spirituality and things. I mean, and one day I thought, people are not as interested as I am. So I had to weed it down to appreciating talking about good muffin recipes.
Yeah.
You know,
too many times, I think people, they do not want to deal with the possibility that, you know, life might be a little different than they expect. So, you know, one of the big reasons why I love talking with people with different opinions than I have is because if I just talk with people that agree with me all the time, I'm not going to learn anything. And you know how many times I've changed my opinion, you know, based on good debate? Several, many. I try to be open to it, and I'm not perfect, and I'm going to miss things. I'm going to have biases, and I'm going to try to account for them. But, you know, keeping open and having a curious mind about those kind of things is critical. And, you know, hearing you say that you're not really seeing it as much, you know, I'm sorry to hear that. But like you, I'm always happy to cheerlead this group of ours and that we have this community of curious folks that come together. So I do love that.
Yeah. A woman once said, we were sitting in a group of people, it was many years ago, and I turned to a woman to talk to her, and the other woman says, oh, you don't have conversations with Vicky, you have discussions. Unless you're prepared for a discussion. And I went, oh, is that what I do? I'd like to have discussions. And I like to ask people questions. You know, I like that back and forth. And although I still do that, it's to a way more marginal degree.
Right.
Because I found that most of the time I don't want to know the answer. So it's not to minimize, you know, relationships or dynamic with people. It's just that, you know, everything has its own worth and its own value. And so you may know a lot of people in your life who have zero interest in metaphysics.
Yeah,
they still hold a great value in your life.
Oh, absolutely.
And
one of my closest friends doesn't care about this at all. You know,
no.
Sometimes he'll tolerate me going on rants and things, but could not care less. Yet he does employ things about metaphysics every day. Everybody does. Doesn't really dwell on it. But he does think about how he approaches life, the mindset that he has, the different things. And occasionally has even thought about, you know, where do we come from, where are we going kind of questions too. But as a rule, never really wanted to get into it much. But, you know, I've known him for 20 years now, almost.
Well, there's a lady where I used to work. We, you know, become friendly and talk now and again. And I mentioned how I do this Wednesday night show and a humanist group and talk metaphysics and everything from aliens to whatever. And she just shut down. Her face went blank. I went, oh, I guess I can't go there. And you kind of know people. You know when it's lost on them.
And so a lot of,
don't go there.
I'm also going to say some of it is tribalism. People will slot themselves into different categories. And too many people have an erroneous opinion that, you know, once you start going into this, it's all into, you know, different, you know, foo-foo wacky territory. But it's, life is complicated. There's going to be interesting things that will, you know, just kind of permeate existence. You know, these little things that are outside the norm that, you know, if this is true, what does that mean for everything else kind of questions.
Yeah.
And those are worth exploring. And it's unfortunate that there are people that just, as soon as they hear those kind of, you know, terms, they're going to shut down because in their mind, they've already categorized themselves as the other, you know, I'm not into that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, you know, like in the case of my buddy, it was just social stuff earlier on. It was stuff that he viewed as being made fun of, you know? This is a guy that in the 21st century thought it was, nerdy in a bad way to be into Star Trek and Star Wars. I had to drag him. I made him watch all Star Wars movies. And I still believe that I enriched his life. And he actually did like a couple Star Trek movies, too. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Wendy's written in the chat that she doesn't know anyone in her personal life is into metaphysics. So this program is the only time she gets to participate in conversations with regards to metaphysical topics, and she really appreciates having this program. Thank you for that, Wendy. And I'm sure you're not alone.
You're
not.
Yeah, you got us here, you know. Damien's throwing you some love. We got, we got a good community of folks with us. And and it's good. It's a good thing, you know, because that is one of the bright sides of the internet. I mean, social media has been a mixed bag to me. You know, in a lot of ways I love it because we can have these kind of connections through this internet radio broadcast that gets saved and kind of put into podcast form later on too. We have our Facebook groups. We have, you know, these different ways of connecting, and that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And personally, you know, I think that we need to focus on those kind of critical thinking skills that allow us to navigate all this information that's being thrown at us, like, you know, coming out of a fire hose to, you know, pick out, you know, what's going to really impact our lives. What's good for us? Because, you know, we're all different. So what's good for somebody might not be good for another, but, you know, we can really figure that out.
Well, it's be optimistic and be sensible. And while there may be some hard days ahead, remain steadfast to your goal, to your dream, one foot in front of the other, keep moving forward, and set those other goals for yourself. You know, even if it's, you know, the small stuff, I'm just going to go back here and very quickly, the weekly student newsletter. Maybe it's you got your bachelor's. Maybe you got, your master's or your doctoral. Did you meet new friends this past year? Did you get a new romantic interest? Or did you get rid of the mate you finally wanted to get rid of? Did you get a new pet? Did you get a new car? You know, Dr. Kelly has written a whole list of things to acknowledge about yourself. And that's part of, if you have dreams and goals, things that you want to do this year, you know, project for that. And give yourself a little credit for being able to move forward. You might think it's small, but it's progress nonetheless. Trust me, it's still progress.
Absolutely.
It's not up to us to judge what progress is like, and how big it is.
I think it's really important to also throw out that sometimes, even if there's no supposed progress, although I think we can find some most anyways, if we don't regress, and if we can hold our own and hold water and, you know, keep our heads above water, that is an enormous victory in and of itself a lot of times, depending on the challenges each of us face in this life.
Well, I mean, the same could be said for somebody in a tornado, a hurricane, the floods, the storms, you know, the fires. You survive it, that's huge.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah. And so all things being relative, it's, keeping in perspective. So I want to say to everybody, you got this. And, you know, you have all the tools, you have the skills, you have the drive. And, you know, as I've said, very often don't let them push you around out there, meaning don't let them alter you in your spirit. Don't let people change you. Be who you are and the human being that you want to be. That's
Absolutely.
All.
Well
That's
said.
All any of us can do, Michael.
So. You're very right in that. And that is not always an easy assignment, but... Well, it has been a wonderful discussion.
It has.
I've enjoyed every minute of it. We're going to have a great guest next week, Abbott, but beloved card keeper Wendy White will be joining us. And we're going to look into going over those trends. And then, of course, we're going to try to ring up Dr. Mike sometime around. You know, if you have any topics that you're interested in, I saw one or two thrown out. Let us know, you know, throw in the chat, you know, get us on Facebook. I'm pretty sure that we see each and every one of you, especially in the One Planet community. And, we're looking forward to kind of exploring these new topics and new ideas and old ideas and, you know, kind of reexamining things, seeing what we missed and such going into the new year. And remember that we all have each other, that we can all lean on each other and that we're all, you know, here to support one another. So.
Totally agree, Michael.
All right.
So I want to say all the best in the coming year, sending good vibes to everybody if you need it or not, because you're getting zapped with big white light anyway. So I wish everybody a safe, happy, healthy 2025.
Wonderful. Absolutely. So with that, I will say to everyone, we're looking forward to seeing you next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.